I kind of felt myself all over the place. Like sometimes I was like, what is going on? Like confused. I felt awe. I felt surprise. And this is really just kind of how life is sometimes, right? Like it's not always just like a perfect ballad that is just perfectly manicured or elegant. Life is just everything. Welcome to Jazz Therapy, where we explore the intersectionality of jazz, the psyche and psychoanalytic thought, spirituality, and consciousness. We have in-depth conversations with people from various walks of life, all of whom view their work as a service to humanity. Then we listen to jazz and discuss our thoughts, feelings, and reflections, which arise from hearing this incredible art form. I'm your host, Jesse Shapiro. This show is for entertainment and educational purposes only. If you or someone you know is feeling suicidal or in an emotional crisis, you can call or text the SAMHSA Crisis Line, the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Association, through the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. Simply call or dial 988 24/7, 365 days a year. Thousands of tired, nerve-shaken, over-civilized people are beginning to find out that going to the mountains is going home, that wilderness is a necessity. John Muir from Our National Parks. I took a walk in the woods and came back taller than the trees. Henry David Thoreau. Look deep into nature and then you will understand everything better. Albert Einstein. Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 10, our season finale of season one of Jazz Therapy. If you've been here with me the whole season, I'm so grateful. And today we are going to talk about Shinrin Yoku, which is the Japanese concept of forest bathing, and how nature really is so essential and so nurturing for our souls. And then we are going to listen to the music of jazz genius Eric Dolphy, whose anniversary is June 20th. And Eric Dolphy was himself very much inspired by the sounds of nature, particularly the birds, the winds. So let's get started. If you'd like to know more, you can visit my website at www.jazztherapy.com. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist in the states of California and New York. You can also check out my profile page on Psychology Today, which I'll leave linked below. I was inspired by the concept of Shinrin Yoku after taking a vacation where I was able to be out in nature in the beauty of forests. I was able to hike a good amount and also be at the beach. And it was so incredibly nourishing. And I realized I need to get out a lot more in nature. I really am a spiritual seeker. I'm not a spiritual teacher. If you saw episode one of this show, Rigson, my first guest, he's a spiritual teacher level. He's so amazing. But I am a seeker and I'm always working on myself every day. There are many things that I need to work on. And so any concept that I'm talking about on this show is one that I am also trying to incorporate into my life and, you know, using as a tool for growth. All right, so let's talk a little bit about Shinrin Yoku, forest bathing, and what is it, the concept of it, and a little bit of the history of it. This is a quote from Japanese tourist travel website. It's www.japan.travel. The Japanese practice of Shinrin Yoku, or forest bathing, is the simple and therapeutic act of spending time in a forest. If you've ever been in a forest, listen to the birds, and watch the sunrise filtering through the leaves, you've already participated in one of the best things you can do for your physical and mental well-being. Even Japanese doctors promote forest bathing as a relaxing break from hectic urban life. Forest bathing as a medicinal practice in Japan goes back to the 1980s. Around this time, the world was coming to realize the negative effects of depression, distraction, and aches and pains. These effects have only gotten worse with time and are now recognized in cities all over the world. It's difficult to truly relax in cities, with sensory overload caused by heavy traffic, dense populations, and long hours spent in offices. Being in a forest and paying attention to our surroundings stimulates the senses enough to ease the drive to do something, yet is calming enough to allow us a moment of peace. And the website goes on to give a quote and talk about Dr. Qing Li. And he estimates that we spend up to 93% of our time indoors. And he also then goes on to expatiate a disorder of nature deficiency, which is very interesting, and how all this time indoors can contribute to us feeling a lot more negative, being depressed, more anxious, and how we can get better by just being out in nature. And I really agree with this myself. I live in an urban area, and I myself can really, you know, when I am at work, I'll just kind of be focused. I'll be like grinding on kind of what I'm doing. And that feels good sometimes to be in a state of flow and working. And I really do love what I do. However, I'm also someone that really loves to be active. I love to work out. I love to be outside. And I can kind of get this feeling of restlessness. Like I just need to move and I need to be outside. And there is something so soothing about just being in nature. And so more from this website, japan.travel, and I really like this. The real value of, this is a quote, forest bathing is how accessible it is. Forest bathing has similar benefits to other Japanese practices such as Zen meditation and mindfulness. It is a much less intimidating concept. In a forest, however, meditation and mindfulness come naturally when you allow your senses to focus on the small, uncomplicated changes around you. Shinrin Yoku as a spiritual practice, as a therapeutic practice, is something that we don't need to be adepts at. We can just go and be out in nature, and all of a sudden, we already kind of just feel better. So on this recent vacation that I took, I really was just so struck by how much calmer I felt being out in nature. I just felt so much more grounded. And that's another practice I probably read about, just speaking of grounding, which is where one just goes to the beach, maybe even a grassy area, and one takes off one's shoes and just feels the earth underneath one's feet. And this is another way that we can get in touch with nature in a very accessible way. I think the ego, my ego at least, can put up excuses sometimes, like, oh, I can just exercise indoors. However, it could even just be something as simple as going to take a little walk outside and trying to find a local park if you're in a more urban environment, or taking your lunch outside, or maybe you're even going to call a friend and just take a little walk, and just even being by a tree. Now, it does take more planning and cost to be able to plan a vacation where one is in nature. You do need the right gear for it. And this is one thing I learned by being exposed to the concept of a Rudolf Steiner education, or Waldorf, the Waldorf philosophy of education. This concept that if one has the right gear, such as hiking boots or even something like a windbreaker, that makes a big difference. If one is comfortable and you're feeling good in your body, then it makes being outside so much more enjoyable. So I do want to put that out there. And thank you, universe, for my exposure to Rudolf Steiner and the Waldorf philosophy that I've really incorporated, that having the right gear and being outside as much as possible is super helpful. All right. So in my research for today, I did come across a study that was recently published in the International Journal of Environmental Research and Public Health in February 2023. And I'm so glad that this study was available online without a subscription to PubMed or you know, one of the research databases, because I was able to read it, including the method section, results, everything. And most of the time they just give you sort of the beginning, like the abstract, and that's it. So thank you, universe, again, for letting this study be out there. So this study was the project of a Swedish scholar's master's thesis. And what the researchers did is, in a German psychiatric hospital, they observed the effects of nature therapy on a group of young folks ages 18 to 27, who are 18 to 27. And the study was done using both mixed qualitative, so more observational, and then quantitative methods of research. And the researchers gave participants in this study nature therapy. And so this was conducted in the garden of a hospital. And evidently the hospital was near sort of a wood, so they had a really lovely outdoor area that was also bordered by a lot of greenery. And you can look up this study. You can Google it if you want to read more about it. And so there was qualitative observations by the researchers watching the therapists, the participants, and they were very careful with this. And then also the participants were given a questionnaire when they begin and then after 4 weeks. And also it's interesting to note that the participants also received integrative therapy. So it was kind of a holistic model of treatment, which is wonderful. I wish we could see more of this in the United States. And participants did individual therapy, art therapy, group therapy, and they also had psychoeducation. And however, for the nature piece, participants would be in a small group outside, and the therapist would begin their time in nature by reading a self-written poem that the therapist wrote, which was germane to the issues that the participants were struggling with. And so they would also hear metaphors and stories about nature and then be offered to do some gardening work, like pulling weeds if they wanted to, or just, you know, kind of sitting and just being outside. And then they would sit and talk at the end of their hour together about their experiences. And furthermore, at the end of all the participants' time in this nature therapy group, the therapist would write them a letter and then also include a poem salient to the issues that they were struggling with. So just really lovely and really thoughtful. This is a quote. "The analogy is that plants are seeded, grow, die, rest in winter, and then grow again in the summer." And the study says, "Overall, the patients had a reduction in their symptoms and reported a greater connection to nature and their well-being. Receiving nature-based therapy increased connectedness to nature significantly." And finally, "Results from participants' self-assessment questionnaire on the effectiveness of nature-based therapy showed that they considered the therapy to be effective, not least regarding mood." So this is awesome. I'm so inspired that someone just had such a creative and clever idea, and what a beautiful model of treatment, including nature in therapy. And we might say that it's sort of common sense that, of course, nature is going to be beneficial. However, we do need science. We need research studies like this to be done, because if this is documented and shown to be efficacious, then we can get more funding, such as in the United States, Congress can allocate more money, or different hospitals and treatment programs will then allocate more money and start incorporating nature into their programs. And I know this is already being done in certain places. I know there are also programs for inner city youth who are not as exposed to nature to be able to go out more in nature. One thing I did notice when I was out hiking was that I did not really see many people of color out hiking. I saw maybe a few. And so it is an economic privilege at one level to be able to go and recreate and spend money, you know, to have money to be able to go and do this. So I do want to say that this is something that we as a society need to work with and make sure that being in nature is something that is accessible to everyone. So just as you're listening along with me, I just want to invite you to think about when the last time you were really deeply immersed in nature was, what that was like for you, and the benefits of being in nature. For me, it was so beautiful and calming. And then when I was at the beach, the sound of the waves crashing, feeling the sand, hearing the birds. You know, people would have their dogs that were running around, and the dogs just were like radiating joy at being out. I saw an otter go from like the river to the ocean. And so what are ways, let's just talk a little bit about what are ways that we can do this in our daily lives if we cannot always go on a trip where we're out in nature, because this is totally legit. Number one, just go outside more for breaks. Number two, try to incorporate physical movement outside. That always really helps. Number three, think about how and where nature can be closely accessible to where you live. So if you live in an urban environment, then it would be parks, like trying to, you know, take a walk in parks. Or are there like hiking spots or nature reservoirs or preserves that you can easily get to with, you know, not too far of a drive? That's one idea. And then if you do have more time and resources, can you plan a drive to an actual hiking area or forest area that you can really be at for the day? Or are you able to go camping or, you know, somehow stay in nature? Like the more I think one sets this as an intention, like I want to be in green spaces more, I want to be out in nature more, the universe will kind of conspire and bring more opportunities to one to be able to do this, be it in the form of an idea of how that can happen, an invitation. Like this will just kind of be in flow. So I just want to put that out there too. All right. So let us go on to meditation. So last week when I was on vacation, I did do a bunch of hiking. And so I recorded a meditation that is in nature. So if you're driving or walking right now, you can just skip to the part where we start talking about Eric Dolphy and the music part. However, if you are able, you're somewhere where you're seated, or you can just lay down, this would be a great time to do it. And let's add this to a little tip too. Meditating in nature is so awesome.
Hello, everyone. This is Jessie from Jazz Therapy. And I'm here out on a hike in the forest. I was struck by how beautiful and peaceful and quiet it is, and how much easier it is for me to settle down and really get into this place within myself. And this is really our true nature. These are what all the mystics teach us, all the great wisdom traditions teach us, that our true nature, the nature of the soul, is peace, bliss, and joy. And I just thought it would be nice to just do a short meditation to get in touch with the place of inner peace, joy, and bliss in our hearts, which is our true nature. So find a comfortable position to be in. You can sit like a yogi with your legs crossed. You can lay down. Just whatever really feels comfortable. And I want you to just take a couple deep breaths. We're going to breathe in deeply 2 times through our nose and pause at the top. And then we're going to exhale long and slow through our mouths. So we're going to breathe in freshly cut roses. Pause. Exhale. And breathe in again through the nose. And exhale. And just one final time. Pause. And exhale. And just feel free to breathe at whatever rate feels natural and comfortable. I just want you now to come to your heart center area right here, where the heart chakra is, which is green. It's so very appropriate right now, especially as I just sit here in this beautiful green forest. And I want you to imagine that you are inside of what we call the inner sanctuary. It could be a beautiful, peaceful forest like this. Oftentimes, I will imagine myself seated on a bluff overlooking the ocean in a garden. Just allow whatever scene comes in your mind to arise. So we're just going to imagine ourselves in this place, peaceful, relaxed. We're just going to see all this beautiful energy from our heart chakra just radiate through our whole body. We're going to see our body filled with this beautiful golden and green light. All our cells infused with this gold and green light. Energy of the heart. Of love. And of peace. Just see this energy spreading out your arms and limbs, down through your torso, groin, legs, all the way to your feet. And now we're just going to sit for a couple of minutes, just quietly. Just relax. There's nothing you need to do or think about or just let any passing thought go through your mind. Your only job now is just to abide in the peace of your soul. Before we depart, you might just say, may I be peaceful, happy, free, and liberated. And you might think of just one person. Do sort of a mini metta meditation. I just had someone pop into my mind, and so I'm just thinking of this. You might say their name may be peaceful, happy, free, and liberated. And just know that this place of inner peace, this inner sanctuary, is available to us at all times, wherever we are in the world. In a bustling city street, or late at night, maybe by ourselves before we go to bed, or out in broad daylight. This peace is always deep within us. It feels so good to sit here, to dwell and abide. And just come back to your heart center area. May we say out loud, thank you to ourselves for doing this meditation. Thank you to the Creator, El Elohim, Lord God, Yahweh Allah. Thank you for the creation of this beautiful earth. May peace be with you and your soul. May you return here whenever you need. Just take a few last breaths. Amen, and thank you so much for being here.
Now it's time to listen to some jazz. Due to copyright laws, we cannot play the music on air at this time. I respect copyright laws and the incredible artists who created the jazz we listen to, as without them, we would have no jazz. I will leave links to the songs we listen to so you can pause and listen to the songs along with us. It is my dream to someday grow this podcast to the point where I can eventually host it on a major streaming platform which owns the right to play music, so we can all have the communal experience of listening together. Until then, please bear with me. Well, let us go to part three of Jazz Therapy, which is jazz and jazz music. And this week we are celebrating Eric Dolphy. He has a birthday anniversary on June 20th, and he was a bass clarinetist, a flautist, and he also played the alto sax. And specifically, I wanted to feature him because he was such a musical genius, and he played music that was deeply influenced by the birds, by the wind, by the sounds he heard. And that was really reflected in his music. And so he seemed the perfect artist to feature today. And I'm also going to say that he is going to challenge my and also your sense of jazz, because his jazz was really, he was really pioneering. His sound was free. He was really just kind of trying to create and push the boundaries of where jazz was going. And he did so much. So you are going to hear his pieces when we listen to them. And you're probably going to have a lot of feelings come up like, I don't like this. I'm not sure what this is. That's totally, or I don't understand this. That is totally okay. That is just totally okay. As I learned in episode one from Rigzin, a spiritual devotee, and I'm going to say teacher because he's like another level. He on the show talked about how John Coltrane, when he was after John Coltrane, especially played with Eric Dolphy, because Eric Dolphy really inspired John Coltrane. John Coltrane, as he was in the stage in his career where he was pioneering with sound and pushing the boundaries of sound, there were sounds in the music that helped Rigzin, when he would have a thought like, oh, I don't like this, or I'm not sure what this is, to then incorporate and understand elements of his own self that were not integrated. And this also helped him to deepen into his practice of Buddhism as he was learning about going through the heaven and hell realms as being represented by like parts of ourself that is hard for us to accept and take in. And the music, whenever we hear music and we're like, I don't like this, there's something there that this music has to teach us. In a way, this is really a perfect, Eric Dolphy's a really perfect artist for us to close the season because he's going to be challenging and bringing this concept back full circle. Okay, just like a short little bio and just to give you some context about him. This is from Wikipedia, where I got most of this, and also Britannica.com. So Eric Dolphy was born in Los Angeles on June 20th, 1928 to his Panamanian American immigrants. They were black, he's black, and he was an only child. He played the flute, bass clarinet, and the alto sax. He began music lessons at age 6 privately, and then he went on to play and got a 2-year scholarship to USC when he was, I believe, 13 or 14. So he was really a prodigy. He played in the orchestra in middle and high school and was on track to become a classical musician, and he actually wanted to be the first black musician in the Los Angeles Philharmonic. He graduated high school in 1946 and studied at LA City College. At this time, he made several recordings with the group 17 Beboppers. And since his father built him an outside studio at their home, he used to have friends come over and jam with him, including Charles Mingus. And Charlie Parker was his biggest inspiration musically. Eric Dolphy also served in the military and was enlisted from 1950 to 1953 in the Army, and he was in Fort Lewis, Washington. His big break came when he was working with Chico Hamilton's orchestra in 1959. Shortly after this, he came to the attention of Charles Mingus, who went on to record some albums with him and tour with him. And we're going to hear to some of the recordings that Eric Dolphy made with Mingus. Mingus said of Dolphy that he had, quote, mastered jazz and knew all and more than anyone could know about the instruments that he played. Wow. So if Mingus is saying that, that is really something. The tragic part of Eric Dolphy, he was not with us for very long. He died in 1964. And this is from Wikipedia, quote, a later documentary and liner notes say that Dolphy collapsed on stage in Berlin and was brought to a hospital. Allegedly, the attending hospital physicians did not know Dolphy was a diabetic, and Tito Taylor, who did not smoke cigarettes or take drugs, deciding, based on a stereotype of jazz musicians, that he had overdosed on drugs. In this account, he was left in a hospital bed for the drugs to run their course. So that is really, really sad. And Ted Kerson also said that, backed up this account. So evidently he was a victim of some systemic racism, I hear as well. And just that paramedics and physicians thought that he was a stereotypical jazz musician, and he died way too early because of this. And so here's a final quote from Mingus. This is from Mingus. Usually when a man dies, you remember, or you say you remember, only the good things about him. With Eric, that's all you could remember. I don't remember any drags he did to anybody. The man was absolutely without a need to hurt. And he's buried in Los Angeles, and his headstone bears the inscription, he lives in his music. Wow. And everybody, there's an amazing documentary on Eric Dolphy on YouTube. I believe it is called Last State. I'll put the link. I started watching it and it is amazing. So I really want to highly recommend you to watch this. And I just developed so much of a deep awe, appreciation, and admiration for Eric Dolphy, who was such a beautiful, exquisite, sensitive soul. And he was also, Eric Dolphy, so important because he really pushed John Coltrane to a new level in John Coltrane's own evolution as an artist. And Dolphy gained notoriety for his work with John Coltrane. The two of them knew each other and they worked together and encouraged one another. Now, they gave a famous interview together in Downbeat magazine, which is like the jazz magazine, entitled John Coltrane and Eric Dolphy Answer the Jazz Critics, in which they talk about criticism against their music dubbed anti-jazz by some critics. So they were really pushing hard bop, the boundaries of it. This music was non-melodious. It was not like a prepackaged ballad, which are beautiful as well. It was just different. And so critics, some at the time, did not really know what to do with the music. They did not understand the music. So in this interview in Downbeat, which is from April 1962, Eric Dolphy comes across as pensive, deep, brilliant, sensitive, and deeply inspired by nature at times in his work. And here's a quote from him. At home in California, I used to play and the birds always used to whistle with me. I would stop what I was working on to play with the birds. And he talked about how the sounds of the birds would inspire his playing and he would try to play like them. The starts and stops, the sounds they made among other things, and the wind that poured into his jazz. So here we see a clear influence on nature influencing jazz. And when I was watching this documentary, one of his parents' neighbors talked about how Eric Dolphy would be up practicing all night, and like 2 or 3 in the morning, she would go over across the street and talk with Eric. And he would just be like, listen, like I'm listening to the birds, I'm listening to the wind. And she said, all of this was just poured into his music. And Eric Dolphy goes on to say, quote, it's like you have no idea what you're going to do next. When he's playing music, you have an idea, but there's always that spontaneous thing that happens. This feeling to me leads the whole group. Wow. So everyone, my spiritual teacher talks to me frequently about how being present is one of the deepest spiritual states that a person can be in. And here we have Eric Dolphy really saying the same thing. So Eric Dolphy played with John Coltrane in California and New York, and they collaborated together frequently, inspiring one another and helping each other grow as artists. Dolphy also toured extensively in Europe with Mingus, and we will hear them as well. All right, let's go to listen to some music. The first piece of music we are going to hear is the Eric Dolphy Quintet from the Stockholm Sessions, recorded November 19th, 1961. Eric Dolphy on the bass clarinet, Idris Suleiman on the trumpet, Rune Offerman on the piano, Jimmy Woods on the bass, and Stuart Collin on the drums. And we're going to hear God Bless the Child. And this is a song made famous by Billie Holiday. And so I wanted to just start us off with this because we can hear a beautiful interpretation of what Eric Dolphy did with this tune. So, and all these are available on YouTube. So pause right now, you guys, and go and hear this song. The links are in the description. So we just heard God Bless the Child from Eric Dolphy's performance in Stockholm. Wow. All right, let me just sit with that. I can hear the elements of the essential melody or the original melody still there. And there's something like very rich and contemplative that that's the word that comes to mind. And you guys, listen, when I'm just trying to reflect on the music I hear and describing it, it's hard to even put words sometimes to what the experience is like to hear a piece like this, because it's just so original, so unique. I feel calm inside. The original Billie Holiday version had a kind of a little bit of a mournful tone to it. And there's also something about Eric Dolphy just completely solo doing this piece. And the piece, God Bless the Child, is really about kind of having your own resources to care for yourself. Not necessarily at the exclusion of being interdependent. However, I think that was amplified, this feeling of like just being with oneself, celebrating the beauty of oneself. I think that's what I'm kind of getting when I hear this piece. It's kind of like Eric Dolphy is just totally out there with this melody. It's there's a tranquil quality that comes across to this music. It's beautiful. It really is. I would put this song in the category of emotional innovation. And you know, even as I'm sitting here doing this podcast that maybe really nobody's even going to listen to other than my dad, who listens every week. And I thank you so much, Dad. There is something so beautiful in about just being creating, being out there, just letting one's heart be full and just letting things flow. And that's what I feel when I'm doing this podcast. And Eric Dolphy, I imagine, just was kind of in another dimension channeling this music. However, his joy, his serenity, his peace comes across when he plays this beautiful version of God Bless the Child. So as you hear it, just what thoughts and feelings come up for you? What associations come up? I'd be really curious. This next piece we are going to hear is from a concert with the John Coltrane Quintet. This features Elvin Jones. This is John Coltrane's famous quintet. This is like one of the major quintets to know in the history of jazz, along with Miles Davis's quintet. Elvin Jones on the drums, McCoy Tyner on the piano, Reggie Workman on the bass, and Eric Dolphy is playing alto sax and flute. This is from a concert in November of 1961. So shortly after we just heard God Bless the Child, this concert was recorded in Copenhagen. And this is a bootlegged version, and this is available on YouTube. There's something I just love about that. You guys, it's like there's a little instigator inside of me. It's like we're getting away with something hearing this music that we kind of weren't supposed to hear. And the song is Impressions. And last year, an album came out that was Live at the Village Vanguard, John Coltrane with Eric Dolphy. And the song Impressions is on it. And I feel like this is a perfect piece to hear because on the first episode of this podcast with Rigsin, the spiritual devotee, and he's really like a teacher. He's a devotee of Padmasambhava. He and I listened to Impressions. And so now we're going to hear this other version of Impressions recorded in Stockholm, or in Copenhagen, excuse me. So what a beautiful full circle moment to hear of these two geniuses, John Coltrane and Eric Dolphy. So listen, we'll hear Coltrane first, and then we'll hear Eric Dolphy. Just let this music wash over you. That was amazing. We just heard Impressions, the John Coltrane Quintet featuring Eric Dolphy, who, you guys, I said he was on the alto sax and flute on this album. He was definitely just playing the alto sax on this track. As I was listening to this, I just closed my eyes and I could feel like the deep joy of just like letting, I imagine almost like a current of creativity and like love and just joy flowing through Eric Dolphy. Like just, I could like see him almost out in space, just playing this music and letting this just come through him, letting himself just express this music. Wow, you guys, this is so cool. I think as I'm really starting to deeply understand more this style of jazz, which at first, you know, I'll say it's hard to understand at first. Like you're kind of like, well, what is the artist trying to do? And I think Rigsin really helped me in the first episode understand that when we say we don't like a certain type of music, it's like a part of ourselves that we're saying that we don't like. And like, how can we integrate that back? And I think the most beautiful thing about this music is just how authentic. I'm sorry, this brings up emotion, but how authentic Eric Dolphy could be, John Coltrane could be, how they could just be in this space of freedom and beauty together. I understand that now, what they were trying to do in terms of evolving as artists. Like, I mean, I understand it as much as I can at this moment in time. I'm sure that will keep shifting. However, way more than from the beginning of the season, thank you to Rigsin. And authenticity is just the most beautiful thing that I think we can embody as human beings is just to be, and how much courage it took for John Coltrane and Eric Dolphy in this case to just really put themselves out there after all the criticism they received and just flow and play with each other. And it's like, I just heard them talking to one another. I just feel so grateful to Eric Dolphy and John Coltrane for just totally being themselves and playing this totally amazing music. So I would put it in the category again of emotional reverie, emotional innovation. And I feel like so inspired just to be even more myself, because there's still a lot of ways that I feel like I conform to societal standards of the way that I think I ought to be. This is what art can do, is to open us up to really just be who we are. So as you listen, what thoughts or feelings come up for you? What do you notice? Please do let me know. And what category would you put it in? Well, let us go to our third and final piece of music. We are now going to hear the song Meditations. And this is from Eric Dolphy with the Charles Mingus Sextet, from a concert at the Palais de Liège in Belgium in April of 1964. So a couple of years later, Mingus, of course, is on the bass. And on this piece, Meditations, I chose it. The whole concert is really super cool, and it's colorized. So it was originally recorded in black and white, and it's been updated in color. So on Meditations, we hear Eric Dolphy begin on the flute, then go to the bass clarinet and end with the flute again. Clifford Jordan's on the tenor sax. Arthur Bayard Jr. is on piano, and Charles Diane Richmond is on the drums. And I hope I didn't miss anybody else. So let's go and hear this piece of music. So go ahead and pause, listen, you're listening, and go to YouTube to hear this with us. We just heard Meditations featuring Charles Mingus, Eric Dolphy, and the members of the Charles Mingus Quintet. I said sextet, however, it was a quintet here. And this piece was just so unique. At one point, Mingus going over on the piano, and like he was plucking it, and there was some kind of like little thing he put in the piano, and he was like making sounds with it. We had Eric Dolphy on baritone clarinet and also the flute. And it was so interesting just to sit and watch Eric Dolphy as well. After his first solo, he was just like deeply sitting and taking in the sounds that the other musicians were making. I kind of felt myself all over the place. Like sometimes I was like, what is going on? Like confused. I felt awe. I felt surprise, peace, and calm, because even though there was kind of like a chaotic isn't the right word. There was an energy that was I felt very alive hearing this. And yet there was still like threads that were keeping everybody connected. And in a way, maybe this is like life and what meditation can be like, when sometimes we sit for meditation and our minds can be calm. We can feel intensity. We might feel like our thoughts are going in one direction or another. And then we might come back to just that peace, that centeredness that we could feel deep inside. And this is really just kind of how life is sometimes, right? Like it's not always just like a perfect, deep, still sereneness or a ballad that is just perfectly manicured or elegant. Life is just everything. And yet there was still such a deep, how do I describe it? There's like something very thought-provoking and contemplative about the pieces that we've heard today, especially with Eric Dolphy. Like he inspires reverie in me, just sitting with myself more, being accepting of myself more, letting myself just be more authentic. And again, I would put this song in the category of emotional innovation, maybe emotional galvanization now that I think about it, to really be more authentic. So as you're hearing this music, just notice what thoughts and feelings come up. If your mind even has any chatter about it, like, oh, you should understand it or have something smart to say, like I told you guys sometimes goes on for me, because it's not really about that. It's just about what is invoked inside of us. and just an incredible appreciation for this beautiful art form of jazz. And I just want to say a very heartfelt thank you to everyone who's listened to this podcast. I'd love to hear your thoughts and feedback, your comments, any even constructive feedback as to how I can make this show better. I just want to give a deep heartfelt thank you to my family for allowing me to be able to do this podcast, and to my incredible equipo, my team, Patricio Garcia, my editor, and Sage Salmon, my social media manager extraordinaire. Both of you are so increíble. I just love you both. And I want to thank you so much for just being with me on this journey. This will wrap up season one of Jazz Therapy. And I'm going to take a little break over the summer and come back in the fall. Stay tuned. Leave me a comment. Write me an email at info@jazztherapy. Maybe we could be jazz buddies. I want to thank Larry Sadman, my jazz buddy and friend, who's the host of a really cool podcast, Discovering Jazz. He and I email back and forth. He's up in Canada. And I just want to say, Larry, I'm so grateful to your feedback and just for your podcast. I always learn so much from you. So in conclusion, our final quotes for the day: climb the mountains and get their good tidings. Nature's peace will flow into you as sunshine flows into the trees. The winds will blow their own freshness into you and the storms their energy, while cares will drop away from you like the leaves of autumn. John Muir from the mountains of California. The sun shines not on us, but in us. The rivers flow not past, but through us. Thrilling, tingling, vibrating every fiber and cell of the substance of our bodies, making them glide and sing. The trees wave and the flowers bloom in our bodies as well as our souls, and every bird song, wind song, and tremendous storm song of the rocks in the heart of the mountain is our song, our very own song, and sings our love. John Muir. And finally, nature has been for me, for as long as I remember, a source of solace, inspiration, adventure, and delight, a home, a teacher, a companion. A heartfelt happy birthday to the soul of Eric Dolphy. Just thank you for your incredible artistry and existing. So give a happy birthday toast to the soul of Eric Dolphy. Thank you for listening, reflecting, and being present with us today. Please leave us a review and comment, as we love feedback and aim to continuously improve and innovate, embodying the spirit of jazz itself. Jazz Therapy is edited and produced by Patricio Garcia. Sage Salmon is our social media coordinator. To connect with us, find us on Instagram and TikTok. Our email is info@jazztherapy.com. Check back next week for our next episode. May jazz therapy soothe your soul.